to you, you, and especially you. Hi, this is Randy, and welcome to my 80th episode of Infotainment. I think that deserves some fanfare.
Yay!
And we have a special guest appearance by CJ, who will be working with me on this episode. And it is a special one because I didn't think I'd get past five episodes of Infotainment. This is the Last Stop Podcast Shop on your internet dial. I will be your round mound of sound, pound for pound, the best podcast around. So let's stop, drop, and roll right into the program. You know, I was talking about my trip to Colorado on the last episode, tripping in Colorado. And I was going to say, I joined the Mile High Club without even stepping on an airplane.
Did you say you were tripping in Colorado?
Yeah.
A lot of people in Colorado trip now.
Yeah. My brother says they catch somebody every few weeks driving around 100 miles an hour with a few hundred pounds of pot in their car in South Dakota. So, yeah, they don't say it on the state signs, but consume your weed in Colorado. But, well, my first thing on this episode, is going to be I'm going to talk about a thing that came across my Facebook. It was a little video of a restaurant in China, and I forget the name of the town, but they have a restaurant that you take your shoes off, and you go in there, and it's like ankle-deep water or a little bit higher. And there are all sorts of live fish swimming around while you're walking through to get to your table. There's water and there's fish. And I wonder how many they have to get out of there because they've been stepped on accidentally or purposely.
You know, for fun, they just should stick some piranha in there. Just for the heck of it.
Come out with a skeleton foot.
Give them a discount on your meal.
Up first on the podcast, well, after the fish cafe. But we're going to talk about competitive eating. Maybe you watch the Travel Channel where they have the show Man vs. Food, where the guy takes on all these outrageous food challenges. I remember one guy, I think his name was Adam Richman. He was like the original host of Man vs. Food. And now the new host, he's a blazing red ginger and he's trying all these food challenges. But Adam Richman took down a 72-ounce steak in Texas in a certain amount of time. But now we got a story about competitive eaters will never stop stuffing their faces, meaning the British vloggers making their names by inhaling far too much food. They show a picture of Kate Ovens.
That's like that last name.
She's related to Betty Crocker or something, but it looks like she's eating I don't know what that thing is on the picture that she's eating there. What do you think?
Looks like maybe a cat wrapped up in dough or something. I don't know. Or a worm, more like a worm wrapped up in dough. It's supposed to be a sandwich, though, I think.
Or some sort of burrito. I don't know. Kate Ovens can eat more than you.
I wonder if she's hot.
No, that's her picture. She doesn't look too bad in there. But probably skinny as a rail.
You always need a hot oven.
Hot oven. Yeah, you got to preheat the oven before you stick in the turkey. But this isn't a boast. This is just a fact that she can eat a lot. The 24-year-old has more than 48,781 YouTube subscribers on her personal channel, has conquered dishes that would make most average people's intestines convulse upon impact. 6 pounds of kebabs, gyro. Some people say gyro, some people say hero.
Heroes.
Heroes, yeah.
Heroes.
This is the correct way to pronounce that. 2-foot Philly cheesesteak that had mushrooms on it. I wouldn't mind trying that challenge. Sandwiches, 27-inch pizzas, 35 ounces of fish and chips. I don't know if she doesn't really say whether she consumed that at one time or...
I don't know, but for eating all that, look how skinny she is. I wish I could eat all that and be that skinny.
Yeah, she does look fairly thin. A lot of those competitive eaters are just thin people. They have high metabolism. Have you ever tried a competitive eating challenge?
No, but I've ate some foods that it was competitive enough just to get 2 bites down. Lobster being one of them. I can't do lobster.
Really?
Yeah, lobster and salmon. Salmon is a definite no-no for me.
I think the most unusual food I've had was at the Minnesota State Fair where I had some barbecued alligator. It just kind of tasted like pork.
I've had that. It tasted to me more like chicken. Like everything tastes like chicken.
It tastes like chicken, yep.
Have you ever had a rattlesnake?
No, I have not.
I've had rattlesnake, too. It tastes like chicken.
Tastes like not like turkey?
No, more like chicken.
And you might as well know some of its most famous names as well as their exploits. Here's some different competitive eating, different people that are YouTubing it or whatever, trying to become famous or whatever with competitive eating. And the likes of red baseball capped American bodybuilder, Randy Santel, Joey Chestnut. I know he was on Man vs. Food and he wolfed down a sandwich really fast in front of, Richmond. He's quite the competitive eater.
Yeah, didn't he eat like 72 dogs in 10 minutes or something like that?
Yep, that's what it says. That's quite the accomplishment there. I think they wet down the bread or something so they can take it in quicker or something. But in the Diet Coke chugging Mickey Sudo, people earning sometimes considerable livings throughout the pursuit of sheer excess. The more excessive the spectacle, the bigger the audience and larger the revenue. This might all sound like yet another stand of characteristically modern absurdity to either attack or joyously consume, depending on personal taste, but competitive eating is nothing new, either on the badlands of the internet or as part of much longer, even more surreal history that can be traced all the way back to the 17th century proletarian hero Nicholas the Great Eater of Kent would. 7 dozen rabbits consumed in one sitting, or an entire dinner feast intended for 8 people.
I wonder if he actually lived through that.
I think I've had rabbit. It's like a chicken, too. And it was the Canadian video series Epic Mealtime that blasted a trail through YouTube in the early years of this decade. But arguably the success of Man v. Food that really propelled the scene into mainstream consciousness during the same time period.
You know, Randy, wasn't there a show at one time that featured people that would eat, they were dared to reach down into these bins and they had to eat whatever they pulled out of the bins. And a lot of times it was some kind of a bug or something.
And Fear Factor.
Fear Factor, I think, is what it was. Yeah, and some of them were actually living. Some were, you know, just things wrapped in chocolate or caramel or something. Sometimes they're actually not too bad. I was at the Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum down in Branson in, I think it was in July or actually in April. And when you go in there, they have a vending machine where you can buy all these weird bugs and stuff in there for candy. And I called my niece up and I said, hey, you want me to buy some, I don't know what it was, fried cockroach or something like that. And you know, she thought I was kidding. And then I took a picture of the vending machine and sent it to her. And no, I didn't buy any. And no, I didn't try any.
I know that Andrew Zimmern, the bald guy from the Travel Channel, he's tried roasted roaches or whatever, a lot of different type bugs. But that's pretty gross. You were at Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum. The Ghost Adventures crew from the Travel Channel has been to one of those museums. Did you find any haunted objects there?
No, there was stuff in there that they kind of made note of. Ironically, that is right across Highway 76 from the Titanic. And Ghost Adventures has been in the Titanic doing stories in there. And in that museum place there. And it's right next door to the Ducks, which we all heard about the tragedy in Branson this summer. But it's right next door to the Duck office there. But no, I didn't see, you know, I read a few things about some weird stuff in there, but I never experienced nothing. And same thing when I was over at the Titanic Museum. I never experienced anything there. But finding that vending machine full of weird candies, you know, for real, made by bugs and stuff was just, I wasn't expecting that in the Ripley Museum.
No, that doesn't sound like something you'd see every day, that's for sure.
Yeah, I didn't want to bring any to munch on the way back to Minneapolis from Branson.
No roasted grasshoppers or nothing, or...
No, they probably had it there, but no, I didn't take anything. But...
Chocolate-covered ants.
No, they had them. And next time I go, I'll make you a promise. Next time I go, I'll buy you something weird out of there, and you have to eat it live on the air on your show.
Well, maybe we can stay at the Clown Motel, too, with all the evil clowns. We just finished watching the movie It, and I thought it... That movie had been redone. I thought it was a more recent movie, but maybe it was. But this was the one with John Ritter, and it really ended really badly. But all that the guy had was the evil-looking teeth, and it wasn't that scary, I didn't think.
No, it wasn't terribly scary. It was more weird than anything. The ending had a really weird, it was a really strange ending to it, but... You know, it wasn't overly scary. I suppose people that didn't like clowns would find it horrific, but it really wasn't that scary. I don't know. Interesting movie, but a very interesting, surprising ending. I thought it would be more traumatic than what it was, but interesting.
Yeah, I know one of the last times you were here to do a podcast, we had a story about Stephen King and the National Clown Association. They were hammering him about ruining their businesses because children were being scared by clowns, you know, just showing up for doing birthday parties and stuff like that, and that they were ruining the business. Of course, Stephen King just brushed it off and like, oh, well, you know, I'm making how many millions of dollars off this? I don't care. Screw you, you know.
Yep. Yeah, you know, I would encourage everybody to go out, you know, if your kids are scared of clowns, you know, and you want to have a little bit of fun, go out and get this movie and have a Saturday night with them in front of the big screen TV watching It. Then call in and complain to Randy that, you know, that we recommended a movie that you probably shouldn't have showed you. I mean, you probably should show your kids.
Show your kids so you have a complex about frightening clowns all your life.
Yeah, we could blame it on Randy on his show. Just don't mention that I was the one that brought it up, you know.
Okay.
Hey, I've got a story here that kind of fits in with what you were talking about when we first came on the air here. I know you went out to Colorado. I've got a story here about weeds. And I got a story here about fire, and this is kind of interesting. It's not the kind of weed you probably saw a lot of out in Colorado or saw stores for, but I don't know. This story keeps popping up in the bizarre news, and once it was a man who burned down his garage with a torch while trying to melt icicles. Wow, that's really... smart. Another time, it was a man who burned down his garage trying to destroy a wasp nest.
And, well, Speaking of stupid behavior, I saw a picture on Facebook that had the caption, "This is the future generation, folks." And this guy was in, it was a flooded area, and there was a picket fence. There was water all around. And this guy was dipping a bucket on one side of the fence and dumping it on the other side of the fence.
Well, this week's man with the torch was battling weeds. I'm talking about the weeds that grow up, you know, out of the ground. Well, I guess the other weed does too, but authorities in Ohio said a man attempting to use a torch to kill weeds in his yard ended up setting his garage on fire. Firefighters said the homeowner told the investigators he was trying to kill the weeds around his detached garage with a torch, and the structure caught fire accidentally. No injuries were reported. The garage was considered a total loss, along with his Corvette and his Lamborghini out there. No, I just added that in. I don't know what he had in there. But somebody that was that careless probably wouldn't have a fancy vehicle like that in the garage. But the damage was estimated. This definitely tells you it wasn't a very expensive car. The damage was estimated at $10,000 to $15,000. And, well, you know, it was worth it to get rid of those pesky weeds.
Yeah. Kind of reminds me of the story we did that you were down here for. Or I did for Patreon or whatever, but it was about this kid that he used a flamethrower and his drone a little more responsibly. Actually, he had it outside, and he had the drone flying around cooking a turkey on a large spit outside with a flamethrower and a drone.
Yeah, I used to make the joke all the time that everybody that knows me personally knows that I absolutely hate cold weather, and I absolutely hate snow. There's not a part of me that likes snow. I'd always tell people, you know, the first sign of a snowflake, I'd be out there with a blowtorch getting rid of the snow. You know, that's, using it against a snowflake is one thing, but when you're trying to burn weeds around a building, for some reason, you know, that just doesn't quite make sense to me. I don't know. I think there's other chemicals out there that can do it without, you know, tearing down your house, burning down your garage.
Talking about snow kind of reminds me that every so often you hear about some people that heat up water and throw it on their windshield to get the snow and ice off their windshield.
Yep. And, I lived in the South for 11 years, and I've heard stories of people down there trying to do just that, thought they were going to be smart and get the frost off their window. And, well, they got more off their window than what they were bargaining for.
They got their window off.
Exactly.
Cracked.
A convertible? Yep. Pretty much, you know, a top with open windows all around.
Well, what was our topic? We were talking about competitive eating, too, weren't we?
Yeah, that's where I kind of mixed in the bugs in with the competitive eating. And somehow we got way off talking. Start talking about weeds and fire.
Let's see if we have anything that's more interesting on that one. I think every restaurant should have a competitive eating challenge. It'd probably drum up business. I know a lot of these restaurants aren't doing very well. I read a story a while back that a lot of these fast food chains aren't doing very well, like Subway, Sonic, Applebee's, TGI Fridays, or some of them that Ruby Tuesdays, you might have these in your area, weren't doing too well. So maybe adopting a competitive eating challenge might be helpful in drumming up business.
Yeah, maybe adding some of those foods on the, wouldn't you just love to go into Subway and see where you could get, you know, a cockroach sandwich or something like that? Maybe adding to their menu, you know, expanding it to include different things.
I don't know if that drum up business, but
drum up something after you eat it.
Well, I did it, folks. I just completed the 72-ounce steak eating challenge in Texas, and here's what my interview sounded like afterwards.
Now, if only you could show them the picture of what it looked like.
Yeah, it'll look even grosser. Right. Buttons flying off my shirt. In my never-ending litany of horrible airplane stories, from engines coming apart, people trying to bring on outrageous support animals like peacock, and the one woman who was told to flush her hamster down the toilet before she could get on a plane, people masturbating in planes, different things. But now here we got another story where a drunk guy tries to break into the cockpit of a plane in order to charge his phone. Would you be that desperate to charge your phone in the cockpit of an airplane while it's in flight?
Probably not, I would guess, probably. Depends on the situation.
Yep, he tried to, but he's saying he needs to charge his phone. And it's like, come on, man, take a nap or something.
And I'm just kidding. No, I wouldn't go into a cockpit just to get my phone charged. I'm sure modern day planes probably have that feature someplace in the cabin. Probably first class, though.
And a few days after some dingus somehow confused an emergency exit for the door to the bathroom, halfway through an Indian Airlines flight, another passenger in the country managed to outdo him, derailing his entire flight, all because he apparently thought the cockpit was an appropriate place to charge his phone. According to the Business Standard, the man who was allegedly drunk had such a deep burning desire to play Candy Crush or whatever on his flight from Mumbai to Kolkata, he bum-rushed the cockpit looking for an outlet, seemingly under the bizarre impression that the cockpit of the plane would be a treasure trove of iPhone cord. He reportedly continued to try to force his way inside, ultimately having come about halfway to a hijacking, he wound up getting kicked off and taken to the police station, all because he apparently couldn't bear to spend a few hours apart from his screen. They don't really say, I'm sure he was probably arrested for something, but they don't say anything about that. Well, wait a minute, there is more to that story. While an Indigo aircraft was on the ground, an unruly passenger tried to enter the cockpit, stating that his mobile phone needed to be charged. A spokesman from the airline wrote in a statement, following the standard operating procedures, the captain initiated offloading the passengers on grounds of security violation. Sure, flying is miserable, like I've done so many stories before. That's why I drove out to Colorado. It's great to have something to distract you from the fact that you're trapped in a cylindrical metal prison that could malfunction at any moment. But take a nap. Grab a book. Watch a movie over your neighbor's shoulder. There are endless ways to keep yourself occupied on a quick flight. Also, taking a bunch of medication for so you sleep during the flight, which is probably what I would have to do. I hear some people take Xanax and stuff for when they fly. But no, this guy was a rare breed of an inconsiderate a-hole who did whatever he wanted on the plane. There's also people who vape, spark a joint, practice sun salutations, obeying their selfish urges over the needs of literally everyone else on board. With all the awful stuff airlines are liable to subject us to, we as passengers can't afford to make flights more miserable than they already are.
How crazy. I wonder why he didn't charge it before he got on the airplane.
Or maybe not drank so heavily.
Or rushed down to the motel office asking him, you know, if he could plug in his phone because there wasn't any outlets in his motel room.
I don't know. I take some time when I title my podcast, and I think when I did What's Wrong with People, parts 1 and 2, I could have just called I should have just titled my whole podcast What's Wrong with People.
Yep, that's for sure. It's a You know, I drive a Metro City bus. I tell you, just the weird junk that takes place, you know, on the bus nowadays is just people you know, I pretty much throw common sense out the door because I think most people, I shouldn't say most people have common sense, but it's those oddballs that don't have it that just, you know, make you really wonder about society as a whole.
What's the weirdest thing you've ever seen on a job, either this one or one you've had in the past?
I've had all kinds of weird experiences. I had one passenger on a bus one time. We were going through North St. Paul, and they're having a parade, and they had a road blocked. This guy wanted me to stop, go around the blockade, and go down the parade route so he could get to his bus stop. It made no sense to him why we could not stop, you know, before the detour began and drop him off. He wanted me to go through the blockade and just go down the road with the rest of the parade and drop people off. That is the honest to God truth that really happened. Mm. It makes you wonder about people.
Yes, it does. I'm trying to think of the strangest thing that happened on my job. Oh, I did in the early 80s when I worked at a Godfather's Pizza. I worked at two Godfather's Pizza, one in Worthington and one in St. Cloud, Minnesota. And the one in Worthington, I shall leave this person unnamed, but he dropped his pants for everyone to admire his penis size.
Oh, brother, that really happened?
That really happened.
Oh, man. Crazy.
And people were yelling for the women to come back there, and then he had to pull them up really fast.
But wow.
But that's one of the weirdest.
Did anybody order a sausage pizza during that time?
No. But one set of people, they wanted an extra jalapenos on their pizza. So I just loaded her down with jalapenos, and they didn't complain about it. So,
wow. Like I say, it makes you wonder about society.
Well, I think it's about time to wrap up this episode of Infotainment. This has been my 80th episode, and I'd like to thank CJ for sitting in for all the fun festivities and frivolity that this episode will provide all our listeners from around the globe.
Yeah, Randy, thanks for having me. It's been nice to be able to join you in the studio. Last time I was with you, we were at the Ren Fest, and thanks for having me, and congratulations on, I was going to say 80 years, but you don't look like you're 80 years old. Congratulations on 80 shows.
I look like not a day over 78, I guess.
78 and a half.
And by the way, if you like this show, tell a friend, tell multiple friends. You can email me at randyms12@gmail.com. You can tweet my Twitters at randypodcaster. You can listen to this program all sorts of places. You can listen at Podbean, Podomatic, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Blueberry, and infotainmentpodcast.com.
And don't forget to email Randy about that clown story. You know, if you show that clown movie to your kids, and you know, email Randy and thank him so much for you know, us recommending that movie for you and your kids.
Yeah, that'd be a good thing. if you want to email me all your scary clown pics, I'll pick the best one and tell you all about it.
There you go.
But thanks a lot, folks, for listening and sticking with the program through 80 episodes. And we will talk to you next time. Bye-bye, folks.